Please turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2, verse 36. Last week was Christmas 2016, from the manger to the Good Shepherd. And this week I felt led to do a prophecy update on a Sunday. We usually do it on Wednesdays or Sunday nights services, but felt like it'd be a good time to do it on Sunday morning. And this one is going to be the coming global government. And just a few short years ago, I could have done this study and people would have walked out and said, well, you know, he's just speculating and et cetera. But I would imagine, I'm not going to surprise too many of you that have been paying any attention to the rhetoric going on in the news, that there's actually a fight going on right now. And the whole Trump campaign and election has brought it to the forefront, and that is the difference between nationalists and globalists. I mean, they openly debate this in the halls of Congress and indeed the capitals of the world. So there is right now, there is a major push for globalism. And as best we can tell from Trump and what he says and what he's been doing so far, is he's wanting to put the brakes on. He wants to stop this march to global government as far as America is concerned and become nationalistic and say, no, we're going to be America. And guess who else really wants to put the brakes on? It's Putin of Russia. And that's also very obvious, including a statements that he made during his four-hour speech to his people this last week, where he made several statements that we're going to cover in our study today. So what I want us to do is to realize that we're living in very incredibly prophetic times. Because the Bible, we're going to look at some verses that the Bible stated that in the last days, before Jesus comes back, there is going to be a 10-nation global empire. So if we're hearing the rhetoric ramp up, something that's been kept behind the scenes by the elites for decades, centuries actually, if they're now out of the closet and they're now saying, we're doing this, and nobody's going to stop us, then that means, well, the Bible says someday it's going to happen, and so that means they're going to win someday. You know, Trump might slow them down, Putin might slow them down for a while, but someday it's going to happen. And when it does happen, that means that's the rise of the Antichrist, comes out of that global government, he comes out of the global government, he sets up his new world order completely across the planet. 190 some nation states surrender their sovereignty to the purposes and mission of the global government, and they're going to do their thing. They're going to exclude God. The Antichrist is going on a rampage against the church, and just before all life on earth is wiped out by this utopian good idea, Jesus comes back. So once again, if we see the world openly talking about what the Bible prophesied 2,700 years ago would be the case in the book of Daniel, does it get you kind of excited? Does it make you realize? And in fact, I'm sure all of you use navigation on your car, Garmin on the dash or, you know, whatever. And isn't it, this is what we get as Christians by having the Bible, by having the Word of God, the prophetic Word of God. It's like most people, they'll put the map on and they can't program where I want to go. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where the world's going to go. They listen to people think where they're going to go, but they don't know. But see, what we have with the Word of God is we know second coming of Jesus Christ to put an end to the Antichrist and his new world order government. Boom. We put that in, and we actually can look at the Bible and we can have that little pink line that goes and shows us where we're going to go, right? And so we have the line. The world does not have the line. They just see, oh, hard left, hard right. What are we doing? Where are we going? Who's going to win? What's going to happen? We are privileged by the Lord Jesus Christ, who lets his children know these things. Just like what Jesus said to his disciples go, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus goes, I speak in a way that the humble will hear, you know, his bottom line. I speak in a way the humble can hear, my children can hear. It's not for them, it's for you. And it's the same way for us if we study and understand the Word of God, if we understand prophecy. And what's the very cool thing, what I'm going to do now by taking us to Daniel, we're going back 2,600 years. I said 2,600 years, forgive me. We're going to go back 2,600 years, thereabouts. And what we're going to do is, just like those navigators, you can hit negative, 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 and on a long trip, You can zoom out and you can see, oh, okay, that's where, here's where I'm starting, here's where I'm ending up. And then I want you to realize that it is, as I've already said, just before second coming of Jesus, just before that is global government. And so what that means is that when you zoom back in, we're right at the end. We're getting close to the end. So with that lead in, let's look at this chapter in Daniel chapter 2. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the first attempt at global government as it affected Israel, ruled the world of the time where the, you know, almost all the people of the world were living at the time, and it affected Israel. And he has a dream. And it's such a vivid, important dream to him that he tells his wise men, this is, I want to know what this dream meant. And the wise men said, no problem, give us the dream, we'll give you the interpretation. He goes, nope, I want to make sure that you're right about the interpretation, which means you have to tell me what the dream is. And then they said, the wise men said, you can't do that. Nobody does that. Well, so he's going to say, okay, you guys are useless wise men, so I'm going to kill you all. And Daniel says, nope, don't kill us. Let us seek God, the true God, who knows the end from the beginning. He knows your dream. He'll tell me the dream and the interpretation, which is what happens. And so going to Daniel chapter 2, verse 36, which we're skipping over so much on this little study that you can get the details of by going to our website, calvarypo.org, and click on Sermon Archives and go to our Daniel study, which was 2008 and 2009. And actually, since 2008 and 2009, where I was having to teach on this without all the rhetoric in our news, people wondered. But now, it's the message is the same, but now it's in our news. Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 36, this is the dream. Daniel's telling Nebuchadnezzar, this is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are the king of kings, for the Lord God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory, and wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. So the dream was, man, I saw this head of gold, and then it went to chest and arms of silver, then it went to thighs, stomach and thighs of bronze, and then it went to these legs of iron, and at the bottom of the legs of iron there were feet of partly clay and partly iron, and then I saw this huge stone that was cut out, that wasn't cut by human hands, comes down and hits the feet of the image and destroys the entire image, comes down collapsing, and then that rock became a huge mountain of a kingdom. That was a dream. And so what Daniel's saying, you're the head of gold, because whatever you say goes. In this massive empire, you can say you live, you die. If you read the rest of the text, he says somebody lives, they live. He says they die, they die. He had absolute control. The law didn't restrain him. Nothing restrained him. He was totally powerful. After you shall arise another kingdom inferior, the chest and arms of silver inferior to gold. An inferior kingdom to yours. This is understood in chapter 8 as being the Medo-Persian Empire. And the way the Medo-Persians ruled is they didn't like to have a dictator, so they said law will rule. They made law the rule of the nation of the Medo-Persian Empire. And then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which is Greece. That's also listed in chapter 8, which shall rule over all the earth. And what did Greece bring to the equation in their attempt to rule the area? And all of these affected Israel. What did they bring? Culture and language. And that's what they did. So, and basically what the Bible makes clear is in the last days, all of those ingredients are going to be mixed up into that last days world empire, absolute power of the Antichrist. There's going to be law that's going to be changed by the Antichrist and the world leaders to outlaw any religion other than the worship of the Antichrist. And all these other things, there's going to be laws and culture and language and everything to rule the entire world. Chapter 2, verse 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. Not named in the book of Daniel, but understood in history to be Rome. Inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. So this is, and what did Rome bring? Rome brought Pax Romana. That was a term which means Roman peace, which meant at the tip of the sword. They brought absolute power. You mess with us, we mess with you. And we will bring roads your ways. We'll allow you to travel and communicate in our massive empire, but you can't mess with us or we'll kill you. So all those above, they happened in the past. Now he gets into the future. What is still future to us, because we haven't seen the 10 toes world empire yet. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, 10 toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it. Just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they, and you know, they is kind of, who's they? they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. Now, again, some of this is speculation because we can't really know exactly what the symbology is because we haven't seen it happen yet. But what Daniel is being told by God is the last attempt at world government is going to have iron, which in Rome was Pax Romana, absolute power to kill and destroy. So the final world government is going to be able to keep people together by power of the sword. But it's going to be difficult because you can't perfectly do it. Because, and really think about it, what are we already experiencing? We're already experiencing the problems of the world leader elites opening the borders, not just in Europe, but in Africa, every place the borders are being opened to try and mix people, because that's their plan. Their plan is to mix us all together. Why? Because if you bring people from other nations, other religions, other cultures, other belief systems, and you force them into a nation, what does it do? Well, one, it creates conflict, and ultimately the conflict will lead to the death of many people, and they've studied history. In Europe back in the 1600s, people were, it was called the 30 Years War, and the globalists talk about this. They talk about the 30 Years War in the 1600s in Europe, where all of a sudden a nation would just, I don't like you, neighbor, and I'm going to just come in and kill you and pillage you and destroy your infrastructure and everything. And then there was so much death and destruction across Europe that they said, let's get together and decide how we're going to fix this and get along. And so then Europe started getting along. So they know if they mix, it creates conflict, and people will lay down their national identities for the sake of getting along. And so that's why, you know, see, as Christians, once again, why as I'm going down this yellow road on my Garmin Navigator, or this pink road, whatever, as I'm going down this road, why am I noticing that all these populations are just being moved around? Why is that happening? And why is it that every time we elect a president who says we're going to secure the border, we're going to stop this from happening, why does it not happen? Why does every time we, get our House and senators to say, you know, this is a problem, and they say, we're going to fix this problem, they get there, they do absolutely the opposite, or they do nothing. Why? Because the elites actually rule both sides of the aisle, and they rule at the highest levels of the shadow government of America. And people can have all, again, Trump, I think, is sincerely, if he is sincerely going to try and fight this, then he will be the first person since Reagan that has not been a globalist pawn. And we know what happened to Reagan shortly after he was elected, because he wasn't playing the game. And it was a very similar situation. George Bush Sr. was supposed to be president, but Reagan swept into the person, you know, the people in America just wanted him. And so then Reagan was told, okay, but your vice president has to be George Bush. And then a friend of the Bush family, the Hinckley family, has a son that puts a bullet in Reagan. So I want us all to understand, along with this study, if the signs are everywhere that there is a shadow government that is ruling things, and they play hardball. And I say that because if we are going to try and fight back this path to global governance, then there's likely to be problems. that happen to our country in the future. And again, we as Christians can understand it. We can understand where it's going to be leading should it happen. We don't have to listen to the sound bites of the government-controlled media tell us what's happening and who the boogeymen are. We know that it's all really a big orchestrated plan. We don't have to fall for their deceptions. So, and in the days of these kings, and see, here Daniel is saying there's going to be 10 toes that are the kings of the final world empire. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, has that happened yet? No. So once again, in the days of these kings, 10 kings, the Lord Jesus comes back and he establishes his kingdom here on earth, and it will never be destroyed. And we have Revelation 19:20, and you know, there's just tons of scriptures we're skipping through this. Again, if you want the details, you can go to our Daniel study. Verse 45, inasmuch as you saw that the stone, which is Jesus, was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure, and 3 of those kingdoms have all been fulfilled since Daniel wrote this. And now, do you think that the last one will be? Absolutely. And we've been waiting 2,600 years, and we're there. We're in the foothills of what is going to be a rapid ascent up the mountain towards global governance in this world. And I am going to close with several articles that have come out in the recent months that make it quite clear. So let's turn to Daniel chapter 7, and where it says, you know, Daniel had, this is so important that God wants Daniel to be our prophet of the big timeline into the future, from his time until the end. He is unique as a prophet of the Old Testament. He is unique in this. He's the only one that lays, this is the way time is going to lay out as far as the governments are concerned. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things, those great beasts. Now he has a vision of beasts, which are four kingdoms which will arise out of the earth. These are four kingdoms that are the big impact on the nation of Israel throughout history. And it's going to go on to say the last one is the whole world, and that's going to be very important. But the saints of the Most High, don't worry. Verse 18 is, don't worry. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, forever. Amen. Now, that's a good, you know, highlight that. That's good. Because no matter what the world leaders plan to do, they lose. They win the battle, but they lose the war with God. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet. The final global government is going to be unprecedented in its ability to require 100% compliance with the citizens, not just of Babylon, Medo-Persian area over there in the Middle East, but this time, the whole world. And how can that happen? You know, I think I just have it at the end, but I'm going to mention it now. Do you realize that the technology of the world today has given any global government or global leader incredible powers to control you and me in every single way? Surveillance, the economy. By the way, you know, Bob Simpson sent me an article about India because they outlawed every piece of currency in India above what's equivalent to an $8 bill. Because they are forcing their people to do something they do not want to do and do not like to do, which the Europeans and the Americans have gladly done, and that is, here's my credit card. Here's my password on my phone. Here's my picture of a check. They want to use cash. And the New World Order can't let people be on cash. Because you have to be able to control everything that they do. And you control the money, you control the people. And so they outlawed in one night, everything over $8 is illegal, and you have 3 weeks to turn it in. And if you have too much of it, we'll be asking why you had so much of it. What was your problem? Are you a drug dealer? You do under the table work and stuff? And people were having to explain why they had so much cash stashed away. And at times they wouldn't give it, and then we promise you we'll give you cash after we collect all your cash, and now the new bill is coming out, and people aren't able to get it. And people are dying. I mean, imagine all of a sudden you can't do any cash, and your whole system is based on cash. You want to go travel to go see a doctor, but you don't have cash to put money into your tank. You put gas in your tank, and so you can't get to the doctor, and you die. And that's happening. Hundreds and hundreds of people across India. And people go, why did you do this to your country? We have to get our people into electronic funds to prevent crime, money laundering, etc. And we're going to do it. We don't care how much it hurts the people. I think it'll happen to us. So in other words, there is surveillance, there's technology, there's a move to global currency and to global finance that is going to make it so that you cannot fight their plans for you without just simply dying. And that's what Daniel said. I wish to know the truth about this last one. Man, this last one is bad. And the 10 horns that were on its head, the 10 governors of the 10 areas of the world, and the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. This is the coming Antichrist. So, and people say, well, is Obama the Antichrist? Is so-and-so the Antichrist? Is so-and-so the Antichrist? And I say, no, you know, we can't even know. But here's what we know from that verse. There is going to be someday the establishment of the 10-nation world empire. And it's going to have 10 governors. And within somebody that's not one of the 10 governors, but within one of those nations, states, is going to rise a powerful person. He's going to take out his guy and 2 others. And then he's going to rise to be the one to take over the world. That's how the world is going to know. 2,600 years ago, the prophet Daniel told us exactly how we're going to know who the Antichrist is. Or the people that are left behind will know. I was watching, and the same horn, the Antichrist, Revelation 13:14, was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. He will wipe out all the tribulation saints. This isn't the church saints, this is tribulation saints. He's going to go to war against Israel and against those that support Jesus according to Revelation chapter 12. Until the Ancient of Days, Jesus came and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, different than the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greek kingdoms, and shall devour, what? The whole earth. This is so important. And prophecy teachers have been saying for decades, since I've been a Christian, people were looking at the New World Order, you know, they were saying, the Bible says there's going to be a 10-nation empire in the last days, and it's going to be a revived Roman Empire, because that's what, you know, the legs of iron come down to become the feet, and it's a revived Roman Empire. And I remember when I was still single, so it was before when he and I were married, so it was more than 41 years ago, and Europe had just announced that they were going to introduce their 10th country into the European Union. And I'm just thinking, oh, this is it. Because I was poorly taught. Because they didn't, when I was being taught as a young Christian, they didn't, you know, hey, it's not Europe. It's not just Europe. The Bible says right here, the whole world is going to be this 10-nation world empire. And still today, in fact, we're going to have, when I get back, we're going to give some DVDs of prophecy teaching, where there's still people, good prophecy teachers today, are wanting to say it's going to be Europe. It's going to be Europe. And somehow America and these other places are going to be off on the sides. No, what's coming to the world is such a disaster, such a global disaster, that people will be begging, and it'll probably be war that's on the horizon, that people will be begging, we need to get rid of all the nukes. We need to get rid of all the chemical weapons. We need to get rid of all the biological weapons. We need to stop all this nation stuff squabbling, and we've got to become one. And that will be the promise. You let us rule you, and we'll give you peace. Just like back in 1600s, when they got together with their little plans of how to bring peace. Only people have to lay down their absolute religions, you know, no statements of there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is prophet. Get rid of Judaism, saying that our God is the true God and we have the temple and we have the true religion. Christians can't say Jesus is the only way, the truth, and life, because we have to all become one. We have to stop this stuff, this religious squabbling that brings war and destruction. We have to stop saying that America is a unique power on the earth and we can do what we want to do wherever we go in the world. He shall speak, verse 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. He'll get rid of the calendar being based on Jesus. Then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time, half time, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and you can listen to our study in Revelation about that. But the court shall be seated, verse 26, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. And you know, if you just read that this is the future for 2,600 years, all the saints have been saying, well, someday that's going to happen. But for us, it's like, wow. Maybe while I'm still alive. And that can be troubling. And people sometimes say, Kevin, I don't like studying this stuff. It's troubling. But it's only troubling if you look at what man is doing and what man's going to mess with. It's not troubling when you say, but the court shall be seated and they shall take away the Antichrist dominion and the dominion of these 10 governors and what they've been doing to consume and destroy it forever. I'm comforted by that. And we're going to have that attitude in the coming days. I'm comforted. I know where my garment's taking me. And I know it's going through, we're going through marshes and fires and all kinds of garbage, you know, but God's given me four-wheel drive and floaters and everything else that I need to get. I'm going to get there. I know I'm in the vehicle, Jesus, and I know I'm getting to the end, which is eternity in heaven. So do you think it's clear? Daniel's made it clear, right? If you just read it, what it says, it's very clear that just before our Messiah, Jesus, comes back, there's a 10-nation empire. So somehow we're going to get there. And by the way, both Bushes, Clintons, John Kerry, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Paul Ryan, and many others on both sides of the aisle are all globalists. And that's been quite obvious. And so when you listen to them on the news, you need to understand they are players to propagandize us into the way of thinking that they want us to go. And we have to be careful. And now when I say both Bushes, they were both members of Skull and Bones, Yale University, a senior secret society at Yale University since 1832, where every alumni has rapidly escalated to the top powerful positions of the military, finance, education, politics. And they are part of their time there. They sleep in a coffin. They drink out of skulls, the Society of Skull and Bones. They drink out of them. And they're told that you're going to die. You're in the coffin. The reason we're making you sit here is you're going to die. And you have been handpicked to be one of 15 people at Yale University on the senior year only to be part of this secret society. And your life is going to make a difference because we're headed towards global government since 1832. And so you make a difference. And the people before you are going to be helping you to escalate to those positions of power. And George Bush was asked, George Jr. was asked, hey, what about your, you know, you say, I asked Jesus in my heart and you changed my life. Well, what about your belonging to Skull and Bones in your senior year at Yale University? And you know what he said? It was national news. And you can Google it, find it on YouTube. You can get the clip on YouTube. Skull and Bones, they still around? They're so secret, are they still around? And I realized right then, I go, there's something wrong with that guy still. Because if he was truly a believer in Jesus Christ, truly understood the scriptures, he would have said, you know what? Jesus did really change my heart, and I disavow all the goals and aspirations of the Skull and Bones organization that I attended during my senior year at Yale University. And yes, they're still around, and they're a threat to the nation of America. That's what he would have done. Rhodes Scholar, you know, England has their equivalent. It's Rhodes Scholarship, which Clinton was part of. You know, John Kerry, when he ran against Bush, we had a choice between two skull and bones guys. They're both skull and bones. And it's important to understand John Kerry is a skull and bones guy, because this is what he said this week. Or actually in May. This is what John Kerry said. His article is, John Kerry to grads at a university in Boston. Prepare for a borderless world. That's what he told them. This is my speech to you. Prepare for a borderless world. And this is from worldnetdaily.com. The author was Cheryl Cumley, and this is May 9, 2016. Secretary of State John Kerry slid in a somewhat shocking statement to graduates at Northeastern University in Boston, delivering a commencement speech that included a call for them to get ready for a world without borders. Now, this is before the election. So this is, and again, the globalists did not want Trump to get in. The globalists did want Hillary to get in. Hillary is a globalist. And they were doing everything. And the media was publishing everything to try and keep Trump out, Hillary in. And this is what he said. This is again a quote. I think that everything that we've lived and learned tells us that we will never come out on top if we accept advice from the soundbite salesman. Who's that? Trump. And carnival barkers. Trump, who pretend the most powerful country on earth can remain great by looking inward and hiding behind walls at a time when technology has made that impossible to do and unwise to even attempt. Now, see, these Yale University guys, they're told, look, we're smart. You're the cream of the crop and the cream of the crop, Yale University. And we studied history, and we know that one country rises up, but then some other country is against them, and they go fight, and then so there's a thesis, and antithesis rises, conflict, and people die, and then there's a new thesis, and another antithesis rises up, and conflict, and people die, and it's been going on forever, and the only way we're going to stop this, especially at a time when we have weapons that can wipe out the whole world, is to control the final conflict. So out of that conflict comes a new world order in which we will never allow another antithesis to rise. It's noble. It's a noble idea. Because then what could you do if you eliminated war? You'd eliminate the trillions and trillions of dollars spent on weaponry across the world. All that could go to just help pay people's satellite and cable bills and get them food and, you know, just imagine free iPads for everybody so they can game all day. I mean, it would be awesome. And so we'd wipe out that whole bill. So they think that's okay, but they don't understand that there's a spiritual dimension to human beings. There's a devil, Satan. And he is trying to get the power of the Antichrist, we know from the Bible. It says the Antichrist himself gets possessed by Satan himself in the last days. And then what does that Satan-possessed man do? Tries to destroy everything God has said is good. To destroy the plan of God. So what we know from history is it's the despots that rise to power and then they kill. And so they think, we'll create a global government, it'll be great, it doesn't matter if a few million people have to die, it'll be awesome, it'll bring a time of peace. So that's what Kerry is saying. We've learned from history, we can't do this, we can't be isolationists, we have to think globally. Kerry then told graduates they ought to realize a borderless world was something they couldn't stop and should instead accept. And then he says this exactly. For some people, and he's talking about Trump, he said that it is all they need to simply climb under the sheets, close their eyes, and push the world away. And shockingly, we even see this attitude from some who think they ought to be entrusted with the job of managing international affairs. The future demands from us something more than a nostalgia for some rose-tinted version of the past that did not really exist in any case. You're about to graduate into a complex and borderless world. Hey, you grads, you know, so he's saying, in your lifetime, In your lifetime, you're going to be in a global government, borderless world, because we're going to get rid of this nation-state foolishness that is creating these conflicts, because we can't do anything about it anyway, because people can come from other countries and blow us up. So we got to get everybody nice with each other, because you can't stop them with the technology from coming to mess with you. Then, this is Obama. Obama warns against a crude sort of nationalism taking root in the United States. Now, this is right after the election. This is right after the election where the globalists realized we lost. And he's saying, we have to stop this crude sort of nationalism taking place. This is from Washington Post, which is the propaganda machine of the New World Order, on November 15th, right after the election. Speaking in Greece, he was in Greece, down there meeting with the Prime Minister. He warned that Americans and people around the world are going to have to guard against a rise in a crude sort of nationalism or ethnic identity or tribalism. Did you know that you saying, I'm an American, you know what that is? Tribalism. I'm a Russian, tribalism. I'm a Canadian, tribalism. And we gotta prevent that from happening. Guard against this tribalism taking root amid the populist movements that are gaining currency around the world. And now this is scary. See, the globalists have been working on this for a long time, but they see they're losing a grip because of WikiLeaks and because of Snowden letting the NSA's ability to capture and control all of our communications for the sake of the global government. They see that that's slipping away. They see that this election was changed because the American people became aware of behind-the-scenes statements. It was because of a WikiLeaks that it became national news here that Hillary goes down to Brazil and tells the Brazilians we're going into a borderless world. It was because of that. And that became part of the debate between Hillary and Trump. It became part of that. And so there was enough Americans that became educated and aware of these things that they didn't get their candidate in, despite all the media attention to the contrary. They didn't quite win. And so now Obama's saying, whoa, you know, we got to stop this. This has got to, everybody's got to understand that I've told you, you got to stop this. And then he says, and I will never apologize for saying that the future of humanity and the future of the world is going to be defined by what we have in common as opposed to those things that separate us and ultimately lead us into conflict, Obama says. Globalization combined with technology, combined with social media and constant information have disrupted people's lives, sometimes in very concrete ways, he said. And he said the reason why people voted against Hillary and are going into this anti-globalist environment is because social media, technology and everything is starting to bother people where it's all going. They're monitoring everything I say, everything I do. They're marching this way. I'm finding out from alternate media some of the facts about what's going on. And so he acknowledges they're troubled. But also, psychologically, people are less certain of their national identities or their place in the world. It starts looking different and disorienting. We are succeeding in doing away with nationalism. We're working on it. Some people are troubled and they're waking up, but just go back to sleep because we can't go back to the past. Echoing Obama's recent remarks, the Prime Minister of Greece warned that it would be difficult for Trump to radically change the foreign policy of a country such as the United States. And this is key. He urged his fellow European leaders to work with the new president by building bridges, not walls. That term, I'd rather build a bridge than a wall, that's everywhere. That is one of the phrases of the New World Order. I'd rather build a bridge than a wall. In fact, it's crept into the church. You know who else says it? Rick Warren says it. You know who else says it? Some of the Calvary Chapel pastors. Bob Coy said it at a time in a pastor's conference. I just go, brother. That was before he lost his pastorship after he found out he had multiple adulterous affairs and stuff. And he was saying that about, let's Christianity just all get together. We just got to all, it doesn't matter what you believe. Let's all just name the name of Christ. So, again, the war is against Trump, and he's not president yet. We can pray for him that he stays healthy. And again, God only knows what this little jog means in the Garmin. But I'm going to say, based on the authority of the Word of God in the book of Daniel and Revelation, is that the elites win. John Kerry's and the Obamas and the Clintons and the Bushes of the world, they win ultimately. However long this, it's slowed down, we don't know. And then Putin, the New World Order is normalizing pedophilia in the West. That article came from you can go listen to his entire 4-hour speech to his people last week. Every year at Christmas time, he gives a news briefing to his country. And 3 years ago, he told his country, we know what the West is trying to do. We know that the West is trying to tie up the bear. And when they tie up the bear, they're going to defang the bear. And when they defang the bear, they're going to take what the bear has. And that's not going to happen. So he was saying, we're Russians. We're going to stay Russians. We have what we have. They have what they have. They don't like me fighting the New World Order. They are doing the sanctions and all this other stuff to enslave us and to make us part of them, that they own it. And that's not going to happen. So that's important for us to understand in light of all the demonization that's happened in the last couple of weeks against Putin. This is an orchestrated demonization of Putin to get us to go get the boogeyman. If we have to nuke him, we have to nuke him. If we have to this, we have to do that. We got to sanction him because, look, they broke into our network and they changed the elections. You know, nobody has ever said, well, why did the Democratic Committee and why did all these people say these things? You know, that's not the issue. The issue is somebody found them and gave it to the population. That's the issue. Because we're supposed to be kept in the dark. That was the elitist talking with each other. We're not supposed to know. We're just supposed to listen to the propaganda and do what they tell us to do. This is what he said. In nearly a 4-hour question and answer session, the Russian president held forth on the state of his country and the world, saying that there is an international push for a new world order that will remove national sovereignty and destroy identity and of God-created diversity. That's his quote. You know, Putin for president? I mean, this guy has more biblical communication of God and calling the West back to a revival, back to God biblical values, than any of our leaders in recent past. And again, this is yournewswire.com, December 27th, 2016. So how many days? Four days ago. Putin says that the situation becomes so extreme in Western culture that people are now taught that faith in God is equal to faith in Satan. To say otherwise would be to risk being politically incorrect, a great crime of our age. True. You know, your truth is my truth. You know, your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. I can't tell you what you can't say. In fact, I was going to give you a Barna poll, but I knew I was going to take too long, so we might come back and do it when I get back from Haiti, but and give you some other statistics. Barna poll asking Christians, is it okay for you to tell other people what their worldview is wrong? How many Christians should say yes to that? 100%. You should be able to, if you care about them, you're going to tell them your worldview does not include worshiping Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your view is wrong. Did you know that the condition of the church is to such an extent that people, like half of the Christians, say, no, you know, we don't want to bother people. At the same time as this process at the national level in the West, we observe on an international level, the attempts to create a unipolar, global, unified model of the world to relativize and remove institutions of international right and national sovereignty. I, as the president of the country of Russia, knows that those guys are trying to do away with nation states and create a global government. In such a unified, unipolar world, there is no place for sovereign states. Such a world needs merely vassals. just, you know, servants of the nation state. From a historical perspective, such a unipolar world would mean the surrender of one's own identity and of God-created diversity of nations. And, you know, did God create the diversity of nations? Yes. Yeah. When did he do it? He did it at the Tower of Babel. And you know why? Because God saw that when the man unifies, they get inspired by a major leader, Nimrod, in the day. And that major leader inspires the people, all of the people, to rebel against God. So he confused their language and scatters them into the nations so that they couldn't unify for the purpose of taking on God. To their own demise, because, you know, God's not worried about losing. He just knows that people have to be judged when that happens. And so they're undoing the Babel effect. That's why in Strasbourg, Germany, the European Commission building is it's in the shape of the Tower of Babel. They are in your face to God. Now, and then another article, Kerry from Skull and Bones. Israel can be Jewish or democratic, not both. This is December 28, 3 days ago. In his long diatribe at the United Nations against Israel, you can't be Jewish. You can't just say, we're Jewish. That creates conflict. So if you want to live as one state with your Palestinians, you have to stop this nonsense about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Temple Mount, and all that stuff. And just go live and do your technology and make your medical improvements for the rest of us and stuff. But just lay that stuff down, because we all got to be one. That was Kerry. And then this is really amazing. And this is the one that could affect us very soon. And this is from 2014. And this was a think tank group going public with their bemoaning. This is right when Edward Snowden, right when he became news. He told us all about how the NSA is monitoring us. And this major military guy for the think tank, extraordinary crisis is needed to preserve the New World Order. This is off of Infowars.com, January 17, 2014. And this is what this guy says for this Atlantic Council New World Order think tank. Without an extraordinary crisis, little is likely to be done to reverse or limit the damage imposed by failed or failing governance. What he means, our ability to create global government is failing because of non-state actors. Just one guy can spill the beans on all this stuff that we're doing, writes Ullman, implying that only another 9/11 style cataclysm will enable the state to reassert its dominance while containing, reducing, and eliminating the dangers posed by newly empowered non-state actors. Do you realize what he's saying? He's saying we're losing the grip. We're losing the grip of the narrative because these non-state actors are able to get information into the population that hinders us in our ability to be Wizard of Oz behind our curtain and, you know, the voice and the smoke going and making people fear us. And what we need is another 9/11. They create another 9/11 that's so horrific that the people will just say, okay, just give us global government. Just give it to us for the sake of the future of the world. Ullman concludes that the elimination of non-state actors and empowered individuals must be done in order to preserve the New World Order. A summary of their material suggests that the Atlantic Council's definition of the New World Order is a global technocracy run by a fusion of big government and big business. And so what if they were to implement back in 2014 another 9/11? What would happen? Well, those non-state actors, the WikiLeaks and all these other people, they would be onto it. They would notify the population and everything would go bad. They'd be in big trouble if they initiate something and they get caught at it. And so December 26, Obama signs a law that makes the government now able to shut down any news source that they deem to be fake news. So isn't that interesting? So the government now, the military, now has the power to pull the plug on any website that they don't like that the news is coming out. So now they can create an incident, to eliminate non-state actors, to create such a horrific incident that it furthers, it gets us back on track with the New World Order, which we're losing. And now, as of last week, they just now have the tool they need to make it so that the Snowdens and the WikiLeaks and all those people and all these other alternate news sites, Infowars.com and others that have blown the whistle and shown so many behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on, declare them fake news, and they're done. And that's why you're hearing all this stuff in the media, fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news, because they're getting ready to censor us from what we get exposed to. And so, and do they have the tools to make us completely compliant? And last week at Christmas, my grandchildren were saying, you know, Papa, because we're talking about one of those Echo things that you can stick in your room, a potential Christmas present Echo, and, you know, Echo, what's the weather going to be like? You know, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Whatever. And I said, they're just listening posts for the government. They go, oh, Dad, Grandpa, you're never going to get that. I go, I'm telling you, it's recording everything. And then that was last week. This week's news, December 27th, police seek Amazon Echo data in murder case. My poor wife drowned in the hot tub. And so then they say, well, we have smart technology. We know how much water your water meter was using. And why was it at that night that all of a sudden, you know, hundreds of gallons flowed through your water meter in the middle of the night? And also, why, and you know what, that echo right there, we would like to get that echo and listen to what happened in your house. And in the article, which is posted on our website, they said, you know, echoes are designed to only have certain words. Echo, tell me this, or whatever you have. But sometimes it accidentally records stuff that's going on in your house. Watchdog discovers that toy dolls are recording your conversations and uploading them to the police. So people get these dolls that, oh, I get to talk to my doll. And the doll's listening, and the doll's into your internet of things. It's wired up to your wireless network, and so it's listening to everything in your house. The Pokemon Go thing, where they're taking pictures everywhere the Pokemon Go that they're going after. They have just, can you, when Daniel said, I want to know about that fourth beast, it's so powerful, it's so able to destroy and to kill. And it's here. It's here. The technology has given these people the ability to utterly and completely control us. Except for Jesus. They can't make us, can't change what we believe, not just here, but here. They can threaten us. They can know what we believe about Jesus. So if you get an echo, I suggest that you preach the gospel nonstop whenever you're home. Just, you know, I'm just so thankful that, you know, God is going to deliver us from the coming new world order that's got plans to surveil the people. And, you know, Jesus is going to crush them like a rock on a foot of clay and iron. And, wow, isn't Jesus good? He told us all these things before. You know, there's just great opportunities to witness. The Bible predicted in the last days there would be 10-nation global government. We are seeing the beginning phases. Wouldn't you agree? We're seeing the beginning phases of that happening. Britain, Trump, Putin are fighting back. It appears Trump is truly fighting back. And he sees this for what it is, which is why he's friendly with Putin, is because he goes, Putin, I agree with you. Let's stop this march to global government together. But ultimately, they or their successors will fail. Ultimately, they or their successors will fail. And being aware of these facts helps the biblical Christian to understand the news and to realize it's time to redeem the time. Amen? So let's go out, not let the propaganda media just stir our heads into the who's the boogeyman, and realize the boogeyman's the devil and everybody that follows him, and the hero is our King Jesus, who is someday going to come home and take us safely into heaven. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, without it, we would have been so lost. We wouldn't even been able to discern in these extremely confusing and deceptive days. It seems like everything that we hear is a lie, and even trying to find the truth in the midst of all the noise is almost impossible until we just sit down with your word and realize that every word is breathed by you through your apostles and prophets to let us know the truth. And God, as we see, apparently, that your prophetic word is on the near horizon pertaining to the last days, we pray that you would give us strength and courage and tenacity and boldness to listen to you, our Lord and Savior and Shepherd, to what you would have us to do to be your sheep, Lord, on this world that's full of darkness and destruction. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand.
And it's not just the sheep of His hand. We're the sheep of His hand, exclamation. And isn't that cool? He's got us in His arms, and nobody can mess with us. Praise God. May you have a wonderful new year. May it be the year that we get closer to Jesus, and God bless you and keep you in His care till He comes again. Amen.